All right, you need to pray for a miracle. You got a long-winded preacher, and I got 20 minutes. So we got to move fast, right? So, hey, first of all, a little update on our prayer thing. Ken was struggling for them, but I think we have about 950 prayer requests towards our goal of 1,000, right? So now we have a couple more from Dino and Janice. Thank you for sharing those with us, though we may already have those on the list. I don't know. We try to circle up with a lot of our missionaries, but there's still plenty of time to get your prayer needs in. You can do that online. If you're here and you don't want to do that, whatever, just grab one of the envelopes that's out in the lobby and write on the back side of it and just drop it in the white box, and we'll get it all done for that. So, hey, secondly, just a little bit of an update. You know, we're in a little different season of COVID right now in the sense that we have some people have already had it, and so they feel more comfortable being out, so they're signing up to come for services, which is great. More and more people are getting vaccinated, and so they're feeling more comfortable with coming and those kinds of things. And one of the things you're experiencing is that on our sign-up registration thing, you're actually getting to places where it says sold out. And what that means is we can't take anymore, right? And so some of you are saying, well, I can sign up my kids, but I can't sign up. That's because we still have room in Kids Connect for them, but we don't have seats in the sanctuary. So just a couple things related to this. Those who are joining us online and those who are out here. First of all, if you sign up and you can't come, let us know, because we get lots of texts. My latest one this morning was at 8:24. Is there room for me today? Which is great. I'm glad that people want to come. Secondly, if you would like to come, you didn't get on your window. You weren't sitting there on Tuesday with your finger over the enter button trying to get set up, like trying to get a COVID vaccine, right? You can still sign up and bring your children, and we always have an overflow room in the sanctuary, in the building. So we have a 65-inch television, all that kind of good stuff. You know, it's not the same as being here together. We get that. We're trying to do best we can, but you can always sign your children up for Kids Connect and then just email us and say, I'll be in the overflow, and then if there's room, we'll get you in. And now this happened with both services, right? So just a couple things to know. First of all, we are committed to serving everyone who wants to be served in person. So if whether you're listening online or whether you're here today, whatever, and saying, the only reason I'm staying away is to give my seat to somebody else, let us know that, because if we have to do 3 services, we will, right? I'm not looking forward to doing a 7:30 in the morning service, right? But we will do a third service. We'll do it because our commitment is to serve people. We take what's going on seriously. I don't feel a biblical reason to reject what the state is asking us to do, just like I don't think I have a biblical reason not to wear a seatbelt when they tell me that I have to, right? Or that I have to have functioning smoke detectors in my house, right? And I'm not living my life in fear. But I do want to be wise. I had 2 colleagues that I hired at the Baptist Convention of New England who died from COVID, related to COVID-related complications. So we're taking this seriously, right? We're looking for that day. If we don't get clearance to open up, we'll go back outside and be able to accommodate a lot more people or whatever. But let us know how we can serve you as we go forward. And we just want to make sure. And so a lot of times, if you wait until 11:30 on Saturday morning, it's going to be a little harder. So especially if you have children, you may want to go on a little earlier in the week and be set with that. All right, got all that stuff out of the way. Let me just offer a brief prayer. All right, God, thanks for these moments. I pray now, even though we just have about 20 minutes, you give us tremendous clarity into what you teach us today. For I pray it in Jesus' name, amen. For the eyes of the Lord, the scripture tells us, right, roam throughout the earth so that he can strongly support the heart that is completely his. That's been our theme verse for our series that we're in called Completely His, right? Because we want to be in a position where we can keep ourselves in the drop zone where God is strongly supporting people, and that is to have a heart that is completely his. Some of you have been memorizing with that. Would you say that with me? For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth so that he may strongly support the heart that is completely his, right? And so I want to continue to challenge you to memorize that. I think it's just a great reminder to have right there all the time for the Holy Spirit to use to say, don't be a dummy and have a heart that's not completely his, right? So we've been through a great journey already. And we just have a couple more weeks to wrap this up before we switch into our Easter series about the resurrection. We're going to be talking about the resurrection, Jesus's and ours, as we get into Easter. But so we started out with this knowledge from 2 Chronicles chapter 16 from the life of King Asa, where God, through his messenger says, you know what? The Lord is constantly looking throughout the whole earth, and he is ready and able and proactively looking for the heart that he can pour all of himself into, right? The one that he can strongly support. And so we recognize that God is ever ready and able to support us. And what it takes then is for us to stay with him, because we learn from 2 Chronicles 15 that when we are with God, God is with us. And because that can't be a spatial thing, because God is everywhere, it's not like God's here and we kind of move over here, I won't get out of the camera, right? Right? You know, that it's not that kind of an idea. What it is that our heart, that our attitude, our heart, our quality, the character of our heart begins to kind of move away. We the things that are always on the heart of God are not on our hearts. And the terminology we've used are the two big R's from the scripture, redemption and regeneration. God is always about people knowing his son, redemption, so they can experience eternity. And he's always about regeneration, which means he wants us to be able to live Christ-like lives, to know what it is to live as a child of God. God is always about redemption. He's about regeneration. And so we jumped over to Matthew 5, to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm giving you a quick review because I think it's important to see what we're looking at today in context. We got jumped, and immediately we see through the Beatitudes and the similitudes, you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. That's the term that the theologians use. There's the similitudes. When we work through the Beatitudes and the similitudes, what we see is the heart of God and the way that he places within us in Christ as we mourn our sin, et cetera, right on down the line, and we become peacemakers and experience peace with God and all those kinds of pieces. And we land up being the redemptive light of the world and being about regeneration, about being the salt of the earth, about preserving it. But when we take that faith off the test track and out onto the real roads of life, we face some challenges. And one of those is we can take the things that God uses to cultivate a heart in us that is completely his, and we can turn around and make those things about us. So the big things that they did was almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. You see these in Matthew chapter 6, right? Almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. But what Jesus warns against is that we can take those things and say, hey, look how great I am, right? And we can use them as image builders, as reputation builders, as a way to get ahead, right, rather than making them about God, about being so head over heels in love with God that we just love to serve those that he cares about. We give alms, to talk to him in prayer, and to cleanse ourselves so that we can be more fully with him through fasting, all those kinds of pieces. So there's this. So one of the first challenges we face is not to take the things of righteousness and make them about us, but to keep them about God. But then as we're winding through the real streets of life, one of the temptations, there's going to be some impacts from the world, some temptations from the world, if you will, a draw from the world to move away from having a heart that's completely his. And one of the things that's going to draw us away, and we looked at this last week, was just to think that the world has a lot of great things to offer. There are a lot of precious treasures that we can find on the earth that will really give us a sense of joy, if you will, a sense of hope. And we can let those treasures on earth become competitors for laying up treasures in heaven. So that's why earlier in chapter 6, beginning with the 19th verse, Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth, right? Don't have your life be about the things that you can't get past the transition that death brings. But instead, intentionally choose to be laying up treasures in heaven. Right? So one of the temptations that we have is to have these lovely things that draw us away so that our heart is no longer completely his. Now, the other thing are those things in our lives, and we're going to look at today, are those things in our lives that cause us to worry, to be anxious. We get concerned about, right? And Janice was telling the story about George Bush, right? I've met a couple Baracks and Georges as well in Rwanda, so it's not limited to Kenya. And you know, and obviously this was a concern when he's bulging, right? And so the family, they're anxious about this. And there's a way that you can take a lot of things about life and including walking with God, and set those aside until you've fixed this problem. And we have a lot of those things that can happen in our lives. And that's what Jesus talks to us about in the remainder of chapter 6 of Matthew. I'd love for you to grab your Bible if you have it with you, or if you're using your phone, that's great, tablet or whatever. Matthew chapter 6, I want to read verses 25 through 33 for us today. And then I want to quickly just run through a few things for us so that we understand what it is that Jesus is really saying to us and how we can respond to it so that we have hearts that are completely his. Therefore, I tell you, it says in verse 25, Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. I'm so glad they translated it differently than they did in the King James, because the King James puts it this way, therefore, take no thought for your life. Right? And I could just see myself as a smart alecky teenager telling my parents, I don't have to worry about going to college. Right? I don't have to worry about how I'm going to support myself because the Bible tells me to take no thought. Right? But that's not what Jesus means. Let's keep going. Right? Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you, right, can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about your clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, who was the richest king in the history of Israel and the envy of the world in his day, not even Solomon in all of his splendor, in all of his red carpet experiences, right? In all of his, he was never had, was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, right? So don't worry saying what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear. For the Gentiles, right, they eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. I think when you read this passage of scripture, you can easily dismiss this idea about not worrying about the future, right? You know, this idea, well, I shouldn't be thinking about where I'm going to go to school because I'm supposed to take no thought for my life, right? I'm not going to worry about my next promotion or how I'm going to have enough money for retirement because I'm supposed to take no thought for my life. That's first of all, inconsistent with the witness of scripture. It's inconsistent with other teachings of Jesus about being a good steward and the parable of the talents and all those kinds of things. But it's also, when you look at our text, he doesn't talk about irresponsibility because the birds aren't irresponsible, right? They're active, they're not irresponsible, but they don't worry. Let's unpack this a little bit. So there are two commands in this text, one negative, one positive. The negative command is this: don't worry, right? Don't worry. And I think what that really means is that don't let the circumstances of life, the needs of life, distract you from your journey of faith, from keeping your eyes on the loving God who gave you life. You know, one of the easiest dynamics for us to slip into, and I'm going to talk about this in just a little bit. So one of the easiest is that we get into, you know, we're doing great. Now all of a sudden, boy, I got to move. I got to get a new job. I'm doing that, whatever. And all these concerns of life come up. Say, you know what? I just need to put my faith on the back burner for a while and take care of life. And then I'll have time to come back to really walk with Jesus. Jesus said, don't let life distract you, from being a person who dwells in the presence of the God who loves you and who gave you life. Don't let life distract you from your journey of faith. The other command is seek first the kingdom of God, which is in many ways just the opposite. It's the other side of the coin of not being distracted. What he's really saying to us is look at life through the lens of faith. When you have great moments and you're being successful and you know all those kinds of great things and family life is great and you know you got that great new promotion and a great new job or whatever, all the stuff that's going well for you, look at it through the lens of faith, right? And when you're going through difficult moments, look at it through the lens of faith. They are either opportunities to serve or they are opportunities to grow. All those kind of moments, they're either opportunities to serve and there are opportunities to grow. And one of the things I love about Jesus in this text, and I'm talking fast on purpose because I got a lot to get in our next 6 or 7 minutes, right? One of the things is he gives us a reason why we shouldn't worry and why we should seek first the kingdom. And one of those is say, hey, just look at God's track record. Look at the birds. Look at the lilies of the field. The birds, right, they don't say, oh, you know what, time to plow the field, time to plant the seeds. Man, I'm really worried if we're going to get enough sun and enough rain. They don't do any of that stuff, right? Yet God feeds them, and they're provided for. You know, and they are active little beings. How many of you, like me, have had, like, blackbirds tear your yard apart looking for the grubs, right? I consider it aerating, so I don't have to do it, right? You know, so, or, family place up north that we had to take down a tree this year on the property because a woodpecker had put a hole in this maple. You could put both of my feet in this hole, all the way up to their ankles. What are they doing? They're pecking away, looking for bugs and looking for the sap, right? They're working away. So listen, they're working away, and God just takes care of them. The lilies of the field, right? They would crush Solomon on the red carpet, right? He could get the finest silks and cottons and dye it, have a craft or whatever, custom-made slim fit, you know, gown, all kind of stuff, and he has nothing. Just like looking at a mountain in the fall, right, in New Hampshire and Vermont, or any place really in New England. Just the color, you can't paint a picture that beautiful, right? It's incredible stuff. And yet that stuff dies off. It gets its nutrients from the ground. It dies off quickly. And they use it to quickly heat up an oven so they can get the bread made, right? So, you know, look at God's track record. On top of that, just look at the fact that it's useless, right? We could go into this a lot, whatever. I mean, but the bottom line is when we allow ourselves to get stressed out, you can ask the doctors up front, it usually takes away from our lifespan. It doesn't add to it, right? So we're working on chilling out now, right? So we don't want to be stressed because we want to live a little longer. It's just the opposite, right? So it's futile. And the last thing he says, you know what? And this is what the unbelievers do. That means you don't recognize what it means to be a child of the King. Because you're acting just like those who aren't children of the King. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. So how is it that you and I need to unpack this a little bit? Here we are. We're in the world. We got stuff we got to deal with, right? You know, some of us are running businesses. We got employees who are dependent upon us, et cetera. And, you know, we're worried about it. We're going to be able to keep it up. And God, we get all that kind of stuff. I get all that. How is it that you and I, and what Jesus says to us is that the primary source here is that our faith is too little, right? Right smack dab in the middle, right? He says, oh, ye of little faith. Look at verse 30, right? He doesn't say they have no faith. These are the people who have come out to him. They are followers of Christ. They're listening to his teaching. They're on the hillside listening to him teach. These are his followers. He says, but your faith is too small. It's either inadequate or insufficient. Choose which term you like the most, right? It says your faith is too small. And I think, in the honor of having some doctors with us this morning, let's look at some diagnostic things that tell us whether or not our faith is too small. And again, I think a lot of this stuff comes right out, right? So if we can diagnose what the problem is, then we can begin to solve it by seeking first the kingdom of God. And I think there's four symptoms that you can look for, right? And these are going to come up one by one, and then when I get my pages turned, we're going to be right in the right spot, right? We have insufficient faith when we trust God for salvation, but we can't trust God for everyday life, right? When we trust God for salvation, but we can't trust him for, you know what? Heaven, forgiveness of sin, all that kind of stuff, I got it. But what, you know what? When it comes down to the way I run my business or whether I need to lie my way out of a ticket so I don't lose my license because I've already got two on it or whatever it is, when it comes down to that kind of stuff, you know, God doesn't know how to handle that stuff. So some of us were in a position, and I will tell you, I've been in an encounter with somebody who said, you know what, stuff about Jesus, God's love, redemption, that kind of stuff, I believe it, I get it. This stuff over here, I don't believe it that's in the scripture. Now that's a graphic form. But when you and I are trusting God for salvation, but we don't trust in his wisdom on how to live our lives every day, we're probably in a place where we have insufficient faith. Right? So if you say, you know, I know I'm going to heaven, but you know what? I really don't want to walk with God over here in this part. It's probably one of those moments. Maybe another way to say the same thing, maybe this is more helpful. We trust God with spiritual things, but we really just don't want to trust God with earthly things. Right? The idea of being forgiven, having joy and hope, of being a child of God, being loved. Man, sign me up. I love all that stuff, right? But you know what? Until I feel I'm in a place where I'm financially comfortable, you can forget that sacrificial giving stuff that God asked me to do, right? We trust God for the spiritual stuff, but we don't trust God for the everyday stuff, the physical stuff, right? And so that's another symptom, right? Third symptom maybe, and this comes directly out of our text, is that we just forget what it means to be a child of the King, right? We just forget what it means to be a child of the King. That's what Jesus said. Look at the birds of the sky. Look at the lilies that are in the field. And ask yourself this question. Are you more important to God than them? And what's the answer to that question? Yes. There we go. I at least got one, right? The rest of you are not so sure, huh? I don't know. But, you know, we are made in the image of God, right? We are precious to him. We matter to him more. It's not that the creation doesn't matter, but we being made in the image of God are designed for a special relationship with him. We matter more. And if you look at how he cares about them, how is it that we translate over, right? And so this is kind of, some of you have been in this. I can remember moments with my boys, you know, and I'm standing in the pool or I'm standing off the edge of the dock and I'm saying, jump, I'll catch you, right? And they're looking in and saying, that water is deeper than I am, right? It's deeper than I am tall. And they're not so sure. And what am I saying to them? You can trust me, I'm going to catch you. You can trust me, I'm going to catch you. And what God is saying to us, like, all right, I know some of these commands, like sharing your faith, being a missionary in Kenya, all this kind of other stuff. You know, this is like jumping into the deep end. And God's standing and saying, you can trust me, you can trust me. And some of us say, you know what, I think I'll just go back to the lawn chair and read in the sun instead of jump, right? We just forget what it means to be a child of the King. We forget that we matter more than those who have a proven track record of God's faithfulness. One last symptom, and we'll wrap up because my time is really getting away. We just aren't applying our faith to real life circumstances. Right? We fail to translate what it means to be doing life with God to the way our everyday lives go by. Now, that's exactly what the unbelievers are doing, right? They have no confidence that God's going to take care of them. In fact, many of them thought that the gods were angry at them, right? So, but we fail to apply what it means to be in and being taken care of by a loving God for us, and we don't apply that to our everyday circumstances. Let me give you an example. Maybe this will help. Matthew chapter 8. Some of you remember the story. Jesus has had a busy day. He's healing people in Peter's hometown, in Capernaum, or whatever. Gets to the end of the day, he's exhausted. And he says, you know what? I need to get away and take a break. So they load up the boat and they head out into the Sea of Galilee. First thing Jesus does is he falls asleep. He's out like a light, right? And he's exhausted. I can relate. I preach 2 sermons on Sunday, and it's the only day of the week that I really take a good nap because it just drains. He's out ministering to people. He gets in the boat, and he falls dead fast asleep. Storm comes up. Disciples have been out on the sea before. They know the stories. Some of them are fishermen. They know what can happen. They're terrified, right? They're terrified. And yet, here's their dilemma, right? They've just witnessed Jesus heal people, right? They've seen him do miracles, and he's asleep in the boat with them, and yet they fail to apply that to their circumstances. And what do? Wake up, wake up! We're going to die! And he's like, you're not going to die. Oh, hold on, you'll hear me better. When? Shh. And he says, oh, ye of little faith, right? Why did you fear? See, we fail at times to recognize that Jesus is in the boat with us, even though the waves are, and all we can see is the waves, and we forget about the fact that Jesus is in the boat. I got to tell you, when we're living our lives that way, it is a diagnostic tool to us that says, right, that we are living our lives with too little of faith. Because you say, you know what, I don't want to be different, I can't be different, and all those kinds of things. And you can run the applications out. So what Jesus asks us to do is to seek first the kingdom, to grow our faith. I want to translate it this way. Take a next step of faith today. What is your next step of faith? If you have no faith, it really is my privilege and honor in the name of God to invite you to place your faith in Jesus Christ. To be one of those people who says, you know what, I want to go out and I want to discover who Jesus is and listen to him on the mountain and recognize that he is the one that God has sent. And the experience of forgiveness that he has to offer by acknowledging the fact that you need a Savior. And the reason you need a Savior is because you're a sinner. And the fact that Jesus is that Savior. And he's made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins as we place our faith in him. If you have no faith, take the next step and become a believer. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. If you have little faith, take the next step of growing your faith. I don't want you to eat the elephant, because we probably don't have the appetite for that. But just look at one area of your life that you know, I am not doing what it is that God wants me to be doing. And just take a next step. Really realizing that you are the child of the King of Kings, who cares for you way more than the birds and the lilies of the field. And he will catch you when you jump. Let's pray together. God, thanks for your word today. God, I am grateful for the constant reminder that we've had in this series that you are proactively vigilant in looking for hearts that are completely yours, because you are ready and eager to strongly support them. Father, I want to have a heart like that. I think the people in this room want to have a heart like that. Father, show us where our faith doesn't exist. Show us where our faith is insufficient. And as we jump, Father, into your arms, help us to take next steps as we walk with you. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, let's stand and sing our final song, and then we'll be dismissed.